DC is proud to present the fourth season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King Students. We now present our 37th episode, Case Files, Volume 3, File 1, The Sketch That Never Was.
Morning already? I slipped out from under the thick woolen blanket draped over my uncovered old box spring and slipped on my favorite pair of well-worn slippers. I walked over to my restroom, squeaked on the faucet, and took a nice warm shower. Soaping myself up, doo-dee-doo-dee-doo. Soap always gets a fella clean. Soap is keen, if you know what I mean. Doo-dee-doo-doop-dee-doo. I finished my shower, threw on an old terry cloth bathrobe, and sat down with a box of cereal, a jug of milk, and a new issue of my favorite comic book, The Night. It's all about this guy whose parents were kidnapped when he was a teenager. So, now, he's decided to dress all in black, with a thick, keen black mask over his face, and go from town to town, searching for his... hell.
Hello?
Commissioner Rogers?
Yeah?
It's 9:30. I was wondering whether you were coming in today.
I'll get there when I get there.
All right, I guess I'll see...
And another perfectly good day ruined by my ever-increasing duties as the commissioner of the city's police force. I put down my copy of The Night, put my uniform on, and started my long trek down to work. As I was walking, I couldn't help thinking to myself, how had I gotten here? How did I, Oscar Rogers, aspiring comic book writer and illustrator, become the commissioner of a police force in a city so deeply rooted in crime that it essentially has a private eye on its payroll? Well, if I had to pick a starting point, I guess it all stems back to my relationship with my dad.
Daddy, Daddy, the new issues of Mammoth Man and Azur, the Blue Wave came in the mail. Will you read them with me, Daddy? Please?
Sorry, son. I'm going to level with you. I just couldn't care less about your idiotic fairy tales. Go waste your mother's time with that fantastical slap waste.
Oh, come here, Oscar. That's right, honey. It's all right. Daddy doesn't mean it. Go on up to your room, sweetie.
I did as my mother told me, but made sure to leave the slightest crack in my door so I could hear what my parents were talking about.
Ari, stop being so mean to him. He's just a kid.
Yeah, well, he's gonna learn sometime that not everything he wants is going to happen. Look at me, chasing a perp for 8 months. Finally, right when I have him in tow, he slips away. Just like that.
Ari, I understand that your job is stressful, but don't take it out on Oscar. You're the best cop on the force, dear. Everybody knows it. For the love of God, it's not even 10 in the morning yet. Would you please put down that gin?
I'll put it down when I'm done with it, and I'll treat my son however the hell I want. Give me those comics.
Aristophanes Rogers was and is an absolutely insufferable human being. Part of it might have been because his first name was Aristophanes, but most of it was because he was a lazy, alcoholic law enforcement official who lucked into solving over half of his cases and let it get to his head. Sound like anyone you know? Our resident gumshoe, Flynn, reminded me of my no-good dad in a few less than subtle ways. Hence why I just couldn't stand the guy.
Commissioner, I'm glad you got here, finally. Something horrible's happened.
Something horrible always happens here, at least once a week.
Yeah, it does seem that way, doesn't it? I mean, at least once a week it seems like some sort of major something or other goes down and we have to figure out who did it. Pretty formulaic, if you ask me. Anyway, sir, we've had a major robbery.
Where?
The First United Savings and Loan, down at the south end of the city. No one's reported as being harmed, but the robbers got away with an excess of $150,000.
All right, get me when you have more details.
All right, sir.
The officer turned away from me, and I just about hacked up a lung. Talking like that really hurts my throat. I wish I could just talk within my normal register, but I've already made my bed. Can you imagine what people would say if I were to just start speaking like this? They'd never believe me. I should have never listened to my father.
I can't believe my son's following in the good old family tradition. Before you know it, my boy, you'll be a cop just like your old man and his old man and his old man back in merry old England. You know, He was one of the first cops. Constables on patrol, that's what it stands for, boy. Oh, if only your mother could see you now.
Well, Dad, I'm not. I'm not actually going to be a cop.
What? But I thought you said that the town's police commissioner had given you a job. He said he handpicked you personally.
Yeah, Dad, he did. As a sketch artist.
No. No self-respecting son of mine is going to be a sketch artist. Police or not, it's an absolutely useless ability.
But, Dad, it helps the police. Besides, I'd only be doing it as a temporary thing until my art gets good enough to get picked up by one of the major comic chains. From there...
No! We've been over this. You were not doing anything with comics. Period. Besides, your brain would be more than enough help for the police. You've got that Rogers intuition, son. You've got to be a police officer.
Dad, I'm not going to live in your shadow! I just want to draw.
Fine. Go draw. Oh, Oscar?
Yeah, Dad?
Don't talk if you don't have to. Your voice makes you sound like a geek. Or a wimp. Son, your voice makes you sound like a geek wimp.
That exchange changed the general dislike I harbored for my father into full-blown hatred and rage. He hurt me so savagely that day, I can't honestly bring myself to think of him as my father anymore. I sat in my rather spacious office, reading an old back issue of Captain Quacksore and the Men of Mercury, and doodling on the backs of some spare manila folders when I heard a knock at the door. Quickly, I scrambled to stow the doodle folders and comics in the various drawers all throughout my enormous desk, put my feet up on said desk, and fold my arms behind my head, all in an attempt to seem distant and aloof. Yeah?
Rogers, I just got through talking with Spinelli. Has he relayed all the information about the robbery to you?
Yeah.
Everything?
Yeah.
Including the bit about the perpetrators being heavily armed and well-organized, according to witness testimonials?
Yeah.
The bit he just said to me he had just received not moments before meeting me, and gave me implicit instructions as to convey the aforementioned new information to you?
Yeah.
Oscar, do you fully understand the implication of the seriousness of this robbery?
Who wouldn't?
You know something? Sometimes I think you're worse to deal with than Flynn. If you need me, you know where to call.
All right.
Don't let the door hit you on. Oh, he's already gone. Murdoch seems like a nice guy. A little rule crazy, but nice. But the principle I founded when I begrudgingly became a cop still stands. Keep people away from the real me. I didn't like being so withdrawn, but I just can't help it. If people get too close, my act would fall right apart.
Yeah?
Officer Spibosa reporting for duty, sir!
Of course, it'd be her that walked in my door. The one person, the one woman on the force that I'd ever want to break my own rule for. I didn't really ever know why, but I always felt like Spimosa's crazy was my kind of crazy. Every single time she'd walk into a room, my heart turned into a small pool of quivering pudding in my chest. I did my best to keep my cool in front of her. Yeah?
Yeah?
I was wondering if you had any special sort of job for me, sir.
No, Spimosa, I don't have anything for you right now. Have you talked with Spinelli?
It wasn't working so well.
Not yet, sir.
Well,
you should, I think... He was a jobbing. I mean, he's had a robber job.
Pull it together, Rogers. Maintain. You know what you have to do.
Go talk to Spinelli.
Anything else, sir?
No.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
Goodbye, my darling.
What was that, sir?
Nothing. Leave.
Most days I hated this job with a fiery, vigorous passion. But on days like this, I hated it just that much more. I wish I hadn't gone into work that first day. I had intended to use the job to work on figure drawings and gain plotline ideas for my various stories. I thought sick, twisted criminal hijinks would be good fodder for my children's tales. I arrive bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at 8 a.m.
And here's your sketch pad, some pencils. All right, you, sir, are good to go.
Gee, really? Thanks.
Don't sweat it, kid. Is that your real voice?
Yes. Why?
Oh, nothing. That poor guy.
I sat down at my designated drawing area and began doing some test cross-hatching on the back section of the notebook. Suddenly, an officer ran into the room, sweating and panting. He shouted to get the attention of another officer across the room.
Hey, Earl.
Yeah?
Come here, I got something we need to talk about.
The two officers triangulated the distance between each other, which, coincidentally, ended up bringing them directly beside my drawing cubby. They both hunched over, creating an intimate two-person huddle. I put my pad down and listened in.
All right, look. We've been searching everywhere for this one guy, Cliff Gregory Cramden, and we can't find him. He's wanted for multiple petty thefts and at least two murders. We've looked in his house, his friends' houses, and houses in the area occupied by families, associates, places that cater to lowlifes everywhere. Where do we go from here?
Boy, I don't know what to tell you.
Oddly enough, this exact theme had just been covered in a comic I was an avid fan of at the time, The Mensch of Might, a comic about a German strongman gifted with the power of invulnerability from the Norse god Odin. In issue 49, the Mensch of Might faces the same problem, except with his nemesis, Slick Samuel, a mad scientist who tampered with baby oil and his hideout. The solution was simple, at least in my eyes. Maybe try checking the house again?
What was that?
Check,
check his house again.
Yeah, but he already did, kid. Weren't you listening?
He could have waited until he knew you searched his house, and then went back in to hide there. Check the house again.
And they did. Sure enough, Cramden had been there, hiding in his own basement. I was lauded as a genius and was promoted to a full-time cop the next day.
That's my boy! I'm telling you, it's that good old Rogers intuition.
I had never even got to do a single sketch. I thought maybe I'd be able to still use the crimes as provender for my comics, but it turns out criminals aren't very bright. If you've spent a month and a half on a police force, you've seen every sort of crime there is. Everything else is just a variation on the same themes. I rose up through the ranks quickly, much to my dad's pleasure and my chagrin. Before I knew it, I had landed the commissioner's job here. A job I hated in a place I didn't want to be, surrounded by people who irked me to no end, thanks to Mensch of Might.
Yeah? Oh. It's you.
Damn right it's me. Well, I just wanted you to know I cracked the case. It was more or less luck, really. There I am sitting at Glenn's when, all of a sudden, these two thug types start buying everybody drinks. Well, I know something isn't right. So I decide to investigate further, and wouldn't you know it, they've got a car in the parking lot filled with $150,000 worth of money in these big burlap sacks. I get into a brawl with them, Ben calls the cops, and before you can say due process of law, Spinelli's cuffed him. Another case expertly solved by Harry Flynn.
Why did you tell me all that?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm feeling pretty sauced. Back to Glenn's.
There he goes, the spitting image of Ari Rogers. Ah, to hell with it. I took out a new piece of paper and grabbed a pencil, hoping that maybe this time I'd be able to sketch a comic book idea. Nope, I just keep on sketching the same thing. Faces of the criminals I might have done, had I been a sketch artist. Expending the better part of my creativity, stuck drawing sketches of what my first criminal would have looked like, and, in a sense, trying to recapture the way I wanted my life to turn out. Constantly drawing the sketch that never was.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of Case Files Volume 3, but first, a word from our sponsor. Alright, everybody, that was a pretty solid take. How do we all feel about that?
I felt pretty good about it.
Anyway, new kid, how does it feel to be Harry Flynn?
Oh, it's fine. I'm pretty much along for the ride, you know. I just keep on trucking.
Oh, are you done?
Pretty much, yeah.
No, I just didn't realize. Good. So, how about you two? You okay?
Yeah, pretty good.
How about you?
I'm fine, Mr. Announcer.
So, how's everybody else?
Oh, bite me, Keith.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
Oh, nothing, except, you know, the fact that Deborah's been in all about 3 episodes this season.
Now hold on a minute, I have no control over that.
Oh, really? Then how come I've got no less than the 4 writers who say you paid them off to leave Deborah out of their scripts?
Well, you know, they could be lying.
Hey, newbie, I can handle this myself.
And what is that supposed to mean?
I think you know what it means, chicken neck.
I'd like to make a point.
Oh, shut up, you overpaid parrot.
Overpaid? You're calling me overpaid?
Yes, I'm calling you overpaid.
Well, how overpaid is this, you greasy clown?
Oh, I am.
I don't even get paid. You people get
that's paid over here. I didn't see any money.
You hackneyed actor.
You filthy, filthy woman.
Corporate sucker.
Old worthless fuddy-duddy.
Ah! Hold it! Do you people realize what you've done?
No.
You were being broadcasted the entire time. Do you have any idea what CA's gonna do when he finds out? He's gonna...
I've just been vamping for a minute and a half about a bit of rubber shaped like a bell on a stick that's supposed to negate toilet clogging when somebody tells me that not only has my voice not been over the airways, I'm getting paid per product sold. The only hook this damn thing has is my dulcet voice. Honestly, do you think anyone would buy this on their own? It's a ridiculous concept. Someone is so getting fired.
Hey, didn't this happen once before?
Shut up! I'm going back over to my sound booth. And when I get there, God help you, you had better switch over the broadcasting.
Yes, sir, as soon as I can, sir.
Not you. You're fired.
Oh.
And 3, 2, 1.
The Plunger. Buy it. 1-800-PLUNG. That's 1-800-PLUNG. I'm going to kill those people. Oh, the mic was still on. You're fired, too.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of Case Files, Volume 3. File 2, Sense and Sensibility.
Hello, sir and madam. How are you on this fine day?
We're fine, my good man.
Would you like to buy a scented candle?
Why, certainly, sir.
Why else would you think we'd come in here?
How very true that statement is. Feel free to smell all of our various standard, signature, and seasonal scents. If I may make a recommendation, our newest candle is Paradise of Pumpkins, a seasonal candle that sets the autumnal mood with hints of cinnamon, apple cider, and freshly cut hay. May I interest you in a whiff?
Certainly, that sounds delightful.
Here you are.
Oh, that is magnificent. Honey, come over here, smell this.
Oh, Thomas, that's just the fragrance we've been searching for in our own den. We'll take 5.
Oh, yes, ma'am. 5 candles. Excuse me while I ring that order up. That will be $1.25.
Ooh, it seems a little pricey.
Oh, Thomas, don't toy with the man.
Oh, who am I kidding? We'll take them.
Very good, sir and madam. Have a pleasant evening. And don't forget to smell the roses.
Oh.
I am what some would call a simple man. I take pleasure in the good, nice things in life. Some people are fans of alcohol, others of lustful fantasies, while I am a fan of scents. While most people will pay to get, as the young people say, plastered, I will pay top dollar to get my nose over a bottle of the delicate fragrance of essence of jasmine. I am rejuvenated when someone makes coffee, simply for the aroma's sake. To this day, I volunteer to cut my neighbor's lawn solely because the smell of freshly cut grass makes me swoon like a preteen girl getting a yes from a male admirer pertaining to her invitation to him for the Sadie Hawkins dance. As some of you out there may or may not realize, I am a big fan of the comic strip Little Abner, but I digress. I love smells of all kind, from those found in nature to those interesting and sometimes titillating smells made by man. And don't even get me started on clean cotton, unless you want to be here all day. Hello, sir. Would you like to buy it?
Hey, put a sock in it, ugly.
Now, young man, there are no needs for harsh words in my store. Now, would you like to buy a scented candle?
No, I don't want to buy a scented candle. Where in the street is this a place someone like me'd want to go to get things, you know?
No, I do not know that of which you speak.
Come on, mister. Do I have to just come out and say it to you?
Apparently, yes.
I heard, this is the place where you can get, you know, Jamaica me crazy.
Oh, is that what you meant? Ha ha ha! One moment, sir.
Hot dog. Me and my friends are gonna have a ball.
Here you are, sir.
The hell is this?
It's what you requested. Our signature candle, Jamaica Me Crazy. We take you down to the Caribbean with this exotic blend of palm tree oil, coconut, and a select blend of aromatic jerking spices. You and your friends will feel like the hip cats on the tide, man.
Come on, guy, that's not what I meant.
Then I, sir, am completely in the dark as to your intentions.
I want... Come here.
Oh. I am sorry, son. We no longer sell any of that here. This is now a good, clean, almost legal family establishment.
Come on, mister.
Don't you have any swinging around from before?
As I said before, I am sorry, son. You are just going to have to obtain your fix someplace else.
Whatever. Lame-o candle shop anyway.
Wait, please don't touch that. As he left, the impetuous young boy felt it necessary to push over a row of our seasonal candles, as if to emphasize a point. Well, it emphasized the point, all right. It emphasized how fully I felt for those candles. You ungrateful little punk! Each candle takes a total of 2.5 man-hours to produce from start to finish. That boy had just knocked over a row of 30 different smell selections, most having up to 3 or 4 candles per smell. I will not lie to you, I wept. I wept uncontrollably for some time. But, as that old adage goes, you shouldn't cry over cracked candles. I grabbed myself a broom and went to work, sweeping up the chunks of scented wax and glass until, apart from the now barren shelf, the shop looked back in order. I was in the process of going back into the storeroom for more candles when I noticed a tall man in a dark coat walking up to the shop with a large case clasped firmly in his hand. Remember a little bit ago when I said we were almost legal?
Hey, Murray, how's Trix?
Oh, you know, Martin, the usual. The customers are good when I can get them.
I'll bet.
Did you bring the goods?
Did I bring the goods? Murray, how long have we been doing business? And you ask me a question like that, I feel offended.
You're right, I'm sorry. I should have known better. I'm just anxious when it comes to this stuff. Martin hoisted his case up onto my checkout counter with a large thud. He unhooked the clasps on either side. Then he reached for the key in his coat pocket to undo the large padlock on the front.
Oh, I should tell you before we do this, the items were incredibly hard to get this week. So there's going to be additional charges tacked on. Bottom line, the prices for the stuff is a little higher than usual.
I am perfectly fine with this. Martin smiled at me. A sly, I sell things on the black market kind of smile. As he unlocked the padlock, took it off, and threw open the lid. Before me were all sorts of dried herbs laid out into individual cloth baggies. Martin looked at me with glee in his eyes.
You lie?
Oh yes, very much so.
Well, you should. Some of this stuff was pretty hard to come by. The rosemary alone took me a lot of dough to get a hold of. Go ahead, Murray, smell away. I know you want to.
I felt like a small child at the soda jerk. I stuck my nose in and whiffed every single last bag, putting aside my favorite herbs. Martin never let me down. Sure, technically he was part of the black market, but still, he was a good guy who never gypped me and always had the best fragrances. I spent the better part of 25 minutes hunched over that box, smelling to my heart's content. When I was all done exercising my nasal cavities, I paid Martin in kind and sent him on his way. Martin packed up his case and headed towards the door. Thank you, Martin. I would not be able to make candles if it were not for your wonderful bouquet of exotic herbs and spices.
No problem, Murray. Hey, same time, same place next week.
Actually, I think I am good for at least 2. How does 2 weeks from now sound?
Fine, Murray. Sounds fine. Oh, hold on.
He threw me a small vial of something that looked black and oily. I caught it, opened up, and breathed heavily. Is this essence of ambergris?
Yep, and it's on the house. Only the best for my best customer. Catch you later, Murray.
I was overwhelmed. I had read about ambergris, but due to its rarity and its regionalism, I thought I would never see it in my lifetime. I was moved. For a black marketeer, Martin certainly had some heart. Well, closing time once again. I took count of all the money in the till, checked the inventory for any and all missing broken or blemished candles, gave the whole establishment a good sweeping and locked it all up. I then proceeded to walk directly upstairs to the duplex that was my main place of residence overhead.
Hello, dear. How was your day?
So-so. Certain parts of it were bad, and certain parts of it were good. How about yours?
It was fine. I worked on dinner mostly.
Hello, Daddy.
Hello, sweetheart. Would you like a hug?
Yes, Daddy. I'd like a hug.
Here is your hug, then. Would you like to be spun?
Yes, Daddy. I would like to be spun.
Here comes the spinning. Whee! There you are.
Thank you, Daddy.
Honey, don't forget Hank's new girlfriend is coming over tonight for supper.
I had completely forgotten. Thank you for reminding me, honey.
You are welcome, dear.
I dashed off to put on a nice suit and tie, as to make myself presentable for the dinner. I do not want to make my son feel awkward in the least with his new lady friend.
Would you like a scoop of mashed potatoes?
Yes, please, Mommy.
So, son, how was your day in school today?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's okay.
Did you get good grades in all of your subjects?
That's not how school works, Dad. You don't receive your grade day by day.
Ah, things have changed.
So, Hannah, tell us a little about yourself.
There is not much to tell. Hank and I met in aerobics class.
Ah.
May I have a scoop of mashed potatoes?
You don't have to ask, Hannah. Just take some.
I enjoy asking. It is courteous.
I like you.
I like you as well. Here are those potatoes.
Thank you. For those potatoes.
Mommy, I have finished my food. May I please go play with my dolly Wally?
Go ahead, dear.
Yay!
We finished our dinner, talking to Hannah the whole time. I do hope those kids make it. They seem good together. Darlene began doing the dishes. My little Katie Poo was playing with her dolly Wally in the corner, and Hank had gone to escort Hannah home. I did what I always do after everything winds down. Go to my scent laboratory down in the shop, hoping to hint on that just right combination of scents so as to make a candle that will hit the nose in just such a way as to explode the scent synapses to a symphony of rapturous smells. I did not achieve this tonight. Maybe tomorrow. Boy, oh boy, do I love scented candles.
This week's episode, Case Files Volume 3, was written by Lucas Tomasacci. Our cast today was Brandy George as Mrs. Rogers, Officer Spumosa, Madam, and herself. Christopher Gatpo as Officer Rogers, Martin, and himself. DJ Nat as Harry Flynn, Teen, Hannah, and himself. Drake Nestor as Ari Rogers, Robert Murdoch, Commercial Announcer, Sir, and Darlene. And Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Officer Spinelli, Earl, Sound Tech, and Murray. Special guest star Samuel Groom as Commissioner Jenkins, new Sound Tech, Hank, and himself. And Sarah Cinto as Kate. Theme for The Adventures of Harry Flynn composed by Michael Wall and David Tomasacci. As performed by Michael Wall on piano, drums, and trumpet. Terrence Karn on accordion and Luis Obergon on viola. With sound engineering by Michael Wall. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Log on to www.harryflynn.wikia.com or find us on Facebook for all of your Harry Flynn-related needs, including MP3s of previous episodes.